Well, praise God.
Amen.
Welcome to healing class at House on the Rock Church. Here we are in mid-April. Praise God. Lord, let's just start with a prayer. Lord, thank you so much for your love for us, for your desire to share your word with us so that we can be free. Because your word is life to those who find it and health to all their flesh. So, Lord, we give this time to you this morning. And we give our hearts to you today. So this morning that you can teach us, instruct us. You said you guide us with your eye. You teach us in the way we should go. So Holy Spirit, we're giving you place. We're giving you all our heart to shine your word, to illuminate us, so that we can walk in the victory that you have provided for us, that we can walk in the health that you have already provided. And we receive that now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, what I have rotating here, this is something from that we were talking about a couple weeks ago. I think I was last taught maybe 3 weeks ago or so. And we were in the middle of a lesson. And do anybody remember any of that? It had to do with I am. It had to do with who are you?
Oh, yeah.
Who are you? And I'm going to go ahead and bring up that the board that we were.
I am the Son of God.
Yeah, all these we were looking at a lot of the different ones, and
new creation.
Let me start it here. And that was the board we wrote. I took a picture of it before we left. And we're asking people, okay, who are we? What does God say about us? And all these, and these were the different things that we had written down and we had come up with. And then I had some homework.
Yeah, I forgot it.
And what I did was those scriptures that were rotating through there, those were scriptures that had to do with these areas that we identified. We said, you know, I am the healed. I am a child of God. I am accepted in the beloved. I'm a new creation. I'm redeemed. I'm the righteousness of God. I am the bride of Christ. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit. These things were all the things that we identified who we are. And it's one thing just to say who you are, just to confess that and say, "Well, I'm this, I'm this, I'm this." But when the word, did anybody read any of those scriptures as they were rolling through before class? There's something about when the scripture is associated with it. There's something about when you see the scripture associated with the promise, associated with the declaration of who you are, that it does something. What does that do? Like when you see a scripture, you got a promise.
It affirms it.
It affirms it.
It cements it in.
Yeah, it cements it. It's the underlying. It's the underpinning. It's the foundation. It's not just something that I'm saying, but I'm declaring it what God is saying. It's not just me saying. It's not just somebody else that I heard. Ooh, I like that. I'll say that too. But it's that. What did God say? What's God saying about that? So that's what happens as far as that. That's why it's more than just, okay, these things are nice. These things are exciting. These things are good. But in the midst of challenges or amidst that, let's say, I am the healed. If your body speaks up and says, no, you're not, then you've got a decision point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, I'm listening to you because, you know, I told my friend here, Anthony, I walked away from all my medication about 3 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I'm not ready because I took my blood pressure. It was a little high, but it wasn't what it used to be.
Uh-huh.
So I'm working on it. Go ahead.
Yeah, and praise God. But put the word in. Because your body... Probably everybody knows your body doesn't always come into agreement with the Word of God says. Your body doesn't always agree with the Word. And so, go ahead.
The difference between just the Word and the revelation of the Word.
Yes.
You know, we know the Word. That way, when God speaks to us about the Word, we know that it's Him speaking. So you know the Word. And when it comes to like taking, not taking medication, when you get the revelation of the Word, that's when the good time to throw the medication away is. But make sure you've heard.
Yeah.
In that Word first.
That's exactly right.
I will say there's seven medications that I walked away from, and there's only two I went back to. And it's not like it used to be. 10 milligrams of lisinopril, 10 milligrams of Norvasc. It's a very minute level, like 2.5, and like maybe every 4 or 5 days now, you know. But the Xanax is gone.
Yeah. And what is your name?
Michael.
Yes. Michael, welcome, Michael. I think this is your first time, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is.
All right, I'm glad. And like Johnny was saying, on the Word, that you get the Word and the Holy Spirit then can lead you how to walk it out.
Amen.
Because it's not just the I'm doing it because I got directed.
I have to stay out of the fallen state. That's the thing.
Okay.
Stay out of that.
Diane.
And to add to what he's saying, it's like sometimes it's some things that me as a person I have to do a correction on. So if I know I like those Lay's potato chips that got salt on them, I shouldn't be eating those if I know it's dealing with my blood pressure until I know how to get things maintained.
Yes.
You know, and then sometimes God will give you an alternative route. Sometimes you look at alternative vitamins and supplements sometimes too.
Yeah, and that's the practical side that the Holy Spirit can direct you in. Because He said we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So therefore, we are led, the Holy Spirit is in us, but we're also treating our body with wisdom. And the Holy Spirit can guide us in that. Anthony.
Well, I mean, my doctor used to say I have high blood pressure and all that stuff, and I broke it with fasting and prayer, straight up.
Yeah.
And it broke the diabetes that they said that doesn't go away. And I don't have that no more, even though I'm fat, but, you know, I'm working on that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it broke, I have perfect blood pressure, you know. Every time they go test me, they're like, "Oh, it's perfect," you know.
Yeah.
And that doesn't look right for my shape, but you know, it is what it is. So.
Yeah. So praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But it doesn't mean that we won't be without challenges.
Correct.
It doesn't mean that there won't be things that we still have to stand on. It doesn't mean we're not going to be without a confrontation with our body, with circumstances. But and that's the importance of not just knowing the confessions, let's say, but understanding the Word behind that confession, understanding who I am. It's like who in here is American? Everybody. American. Now, you know that comes with certain rights. There are certain rights and privileges for being an American. And those are spelled out. You know where they're spelled out? Anybody know?
Constitution.
The Constitution. Now, if you didn't know your rights, they could be taken away. And that's why it's important. I also teach a God and Country class, but it's important that you understand your rights, not just like, "Oh, I have this right." Well, have you read it? Do you know it? Same here. Do you know your right? Do you know where you are? So when something is contrary or trying to take you from a position, from your rightful position, you have the authority to say, "No, this is who I am." You can enforce the law that's backing you up, the Word of God that's backing you up. And that's as you see that scriptures, the underlying of these, like this is, let's say, the healed. Give me something that says you're the healed.
By His stripes, I am healed.
By His stripes, I am healed. Yeah. By His stripes, I am healed. See, so that's the Word that you have. There it is. By His stripes, you were healed. So it's finished. So I am. That's who I am. So as you look through that, it's God, and it's not just that you're memorizing that to make a formula. if I just confess this, because I'll make this happen. But as you put that in your heart, then the Holy Spirit reveals, brings that to your heart and reveals it to you and say, wait a minute, I'm the healed. Yes?
Not like that I'm trying to change God's word or anything, but sometimes I say by his stripes, Diana was healed.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll say that to myself.
And that's very appropriate because then it makes it personal.
Right.
It's a personal word. Mike?
I believe the key to that is to do what God tells us to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, of course I wanted to go to Starbucks today to have that brownie, but God didn't want me to, but of course but I don't eat sweets all the time. Mm-hmm. It's not like I'm going, like I gave up sweets so long ago, it's not even funny. But not only that, it's like, you know, marijuana, everybody's like, oh, it's God put it here. But we're a temple, okay? So we can't, like, destroy the temple, right?
Yep, so stay true. Yes, so stay true to the word.
Right, exactly.
Stay true to the word. And also, it's the written word, and it's that confirmation word that he's giving you about how you walk this out in your life, because he won't lead you into things that are harmful to your body, the things that hurt your body, the things that are detrimental. But he'll guide you, even like Diana was talking about salt on potato chips.
Correct.
Well, there, you know, I mean, so he says, okay, here's some wisdom for you. Here's what you need to do. That's the principle.
Yeah,
but it's being led by that. And so when we have that word, then when we have that underpinning of that word, then that word creates something in us. That word does something to us, even when we're seeing something different in our circumstances or in our body. That word does something for us. And over in Romans chapter 15. It talks about that. It says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We might have hope through the patience and comfort of the scriptures. Now, we're talking about all the scriptures that I think when we were talking about all those I am that had the scriptures behind it, all those scriptures are what give you that hope. Now, the hope, we're not talking about hope like the world talks about hope. Like, oh, I'm just hoping. No, we're talking about the Bible, the biblical word hope. And actually, that's it comes from a Greek word, elpsis. And in the concordance, it defines that word as a joyful, confident expectation of good. So when God says that the scriptures give you hope, they give you a joyful, confident expectation of good. That's what comes from the scriptures. And you notice a lot of times we'll start out class. You said, okay, are you expecting? And we'll say, yes. But the question is, what are you expecting? See, a lot of people are expecting, but some people are expecting, well, you know, I'm now 70. I am now 60. I am now 50. And we laugh, okay. Over the hill, you know, all these things. People expect certain things as the decades change, and the media, the medical, will try to impose on us certain things based on our decade, based on our age. Oh, if you're in your 60s now, that means dot dot dot. If you're in your 70s now, well, that means dot dot dot. And so that's going to be tried to be imposed on you, but to try to give you an expectation of something contrary to what would be, you would say, good, confident, joyful. There's nothing joy about those expectations, but there's a confident, joyful expectation of good from the Word of God, and that's what that gives from you, that gives for you. So that really, we're all that was to get us to the title of today's class, which is, what are you expecting? It's not just enough, yeah, I'm expecting, but it's like, what are you expecting? And sometimes, I don't think we can come into a class, especially like let's say a healing class, and you've been going to healing class, and there's still things in your body that are challenging you, and still things that are like, And it can be a discouragement. It can be discouragement. Because just like we talked about hope, it says hope deferred, the Bible says, makes the heart sick. And there's sometimes in our heart we can get discouraged. And so we can kind of like pull back and we can kind of step off or step away from the word because we're like, I didn't see it. I didn't see it. I didn't get the expectation that I wanted. And that's where we have to say, wait a minute, we have to refocus. We really have to refocus and not let our circumstances. The word says that let God be true and every man a liar. Let God be true and every man a liar. Nobody, all right? Not even this body, all right? Nobody, not even this body. If it contradicts what the word of God says, we have to be able to say, no, let God be true. God's word be true. And let every other thing be a liar. And that's why it's really important to do more than just like the memorize the scripture or just memorize the I am healed. What's that underpinning? What's that hope? That's the source of that hope, that patience and comfort from the scriptures. That's where that comes from. Now, what I wanted to say, I also wanted to look at, we talked about the word, but I'm gonna show a little, for illustration, a little comparison. Like God gave a promise, you know, this is a strong, by his stripes you were healed. Those are all promises that you're grabbing onto. But let's say for example, as an illustration of this. It's 1 o'clock in the afternoon and you get a call. You answer the call and there's a recording. And the recording says, congratulations, you have been selected to receive a free meal from Joe's Steak Emporium. It will be delivered at 6 p.m. Goodbye. What's your expectation?
Somebody's scamming me.
Right? I didn't hear that. I think we want to get that on recording. So your expectation, but you received a promise.
Yeah.
You received a promise. I mean, that you heard it. Now, let's say 1 o'clock, your spouse or someone very close to you calls and said, hey, I'm going to pick up some steaks over at Joe's Steakhouse Emporium, and I'll bring them home by 6 o'clock.
I believe.
Bye. Okay, what's your expectation? It will happen. You have an expectation. Yeah. Yeah, you have expectation. It's the same. You got the same promise. Both of them said the same thing. That spouse or close friend didn't identify themselves. Neither one identified themselves. And they told basically the same thing. Yeah, you rely on the spouse. But the spouse didn't say, hey, this is your spouse.
Right.
But somehow you still, how did you know?
Right.
I've read her book.
But you knew that voice. See, you knew that voice. So you knew you could trust that voice.
My sheep know my voice, and a stranger, they will not follow.
That's exactly right. But that's it. I know that voice. See, I know that voice. And so because of that relationship that you have with the person whose voice that is, you know that that promise is going to be fulfilled. And so therefore, you have confidence in that promise. See, it's kind of a simple analogy, but it really speaks to what we're talking about when we're talking about even the Word of God. Is that word of God just something wrote and a recording that's coming in and you're hearing it? Or is it the voice of your Father that you have a relationship with and you know his voice and he can speak? It's not just it's not just reading a word, but it's like he's actually speaking it to your heart. And so now when you hear that word, it's like, yes, now I'm excited. Just like we said, what happens at 6 o'clock and everybody's excited. There are steaks on the table tonight. and everybody's excited about it, and it's only 1 o'clock, but you're building up an expectation. You're building up a joyful expectation of good food. And so it's the same thing with that promise. It's based on that promise. But it's not just based on a promise that's just written in a book. It's based on a promise that was written, that was given by a loving father and said, this is for you. This is my promise to you. And being able to see that and be able to distinguish and discern that voice that's coming in. So, and we see this. I like Abraham. I really like Abraham. I think one of the ways I like Abraham is because, you know, he was a jerk. And yet, I mean, he did some nasty, wacko stuff. But yet, he believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So I figured if he's a jerk and he can do it, there's help for me. There's still hope for me. And so I like to go back to Abraham and walk through some of these things. I know we've talked about him before, but I'm going to look at a few scriptures. Most of these are going to be in Romans. And Romans 4 is just a great chapter talking about hope. It's talking about faith. It's talking about the relationship between hope and faith. It's talking about Abraham. Abraham actually walks us through some of the hope and then being able to receive that promise. And so I want to just spend a couple minutes just looking through some of this. And in Romans chapter 4, at verse 18, it said, who, talking about Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believe. Now it sounds like an oxymoron, like, hey, contrary to hope, in hope believe. What's that mean? What's he saying there? Contrary to hope, in hope believed. What's going on there? Yeah.
You still have hope.
You still have hope. His situation, his body, the circumstances of him having a child with Sarah was hopeless from the natural standpoint. But contrary to that hopelessness, contrary to hope, in hope believed. So that he became the father of many nations. He came what the promise was, according to what was spoken. Now this was his promise. So shall your descendants be. That was the promise that God gave to Abraham, and he knew it. That was my promise. And in hope, he believed. Now, one thing, notice here, it says, in hope, believed. Notice we have a relationship developing between hope and belief, or faith. There's connection between faith. Does anybody else know another scripture where we connect faith and hope?
Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen.
Exactly right. It's in Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Yeah, because it's not, like, it's great to have hope. It's great to have faith, but faith has to have something to attach itself to. Anybody here? This is Michigan, so does anybody have a furnace? Pretty much, yeah.
I know.
You know, all right, so you got a boiler. Very good. But there's something. What controls that heat? A thermostat. The thermostat controls the heat. Now, the thermostat doesn't produce the heat. The thermostat sets the expectation for the heat. It sets the expectation for the temperature that I want to maintain. Okay? And then when we talked about hope, hope is the confident, joyful expectation of good. So hope is your thermostat. That's what's setting the expectation for your life. And now when you've set that expectation, then faith can work on, oh, that's my expectation. If your expectation is that, hey, I'm over the hill at 60. What does faith have to work with? What does hope have to work with? Right, really, there's nothing there. If that's your expectation, what do we have to go with? What's there? But if your expectation, if you can set that thermostat based on hope, and say, no, I'm expecting.
Who against hope believed in
hope. Yeah, who against hope, contrary to hope.
And he might become the father of many nations.
Exactly. Yep. So he in hope, he believed. And then, and then it continues on, and he says, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now notice, he did not consider. It's like this: the information, did he not know how old he was?
He didn't Google it.
He did not Google it. You know, we can laugh at that, but it's true. He did not consider it. He didn't Google it. He didn't try to find what WebMD said about it. It says it's not. I'm not giving place to it. Why? Because what was his mind focused on?
God said. God.
The promise. God said, so shall your descendants be. The confidence was there. His hope was there. Who against hope, in hope, believed. That's my expectation. God gave me a promise. My expectation is that I'm going to be the father of many nations, so I've got a child here coming. And that's going to come to pass. And that hope, I mean, that where he said, do not consider, it's in that Greek says, fixed one's eye or mind on, like fixed my mind on. So it's, where are your thoughts? Are your thoughts on your body? Are your thoughts on what can't? Are your thoughts on what can't be? Or your thoughts on the pains and the circumstances, the symptoms? Or your thoughts on the promise? Well, this promise says this. But God's promises, is that what's coming out of your mouth? That's what's coming out of your expectation. And it says, he continues on in verse 20 then. He says, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now notice, there's a lot in here. We could spend a lot of time on this, but there's one point I want to highlight here. He said that he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. Now, last week, both Jackie and Johnny were talking about praise, the effects of praise and worship and thanks. It's hard to stay in unbelief when you're thanking God for his promises.
I know, that's right.
Yeah, you can't like, well, thanks, Lord, that I'm really sick. And thank you that I'm, you know, the doctor says this. And thank you that I'm, you know, probably not going to. There's nothing there. But boy, thanks you, Lord, that your word says that by his stripes I was healed. Thank you that your word says that I'm above only and not beneath. I am the head and not the tail. Thank you that Jesus took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses.
That's what he wants for us, is to stay in thanksgiving and in that hope. And it says to stay in constant thanksgiving and cheerfulness and celebration, actually. And
yeah.
We're supposed to be celebrating the victory of Christ Jesus that we have in him.
Exactly right.
In all things.
What did I say about greater and latter, like the latter days?
Yeah. Well, we're definitely under a better covenant.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We're definitely under a better covenant because it's all been completed. All those things we started at the beginning, we said, I am, I am, I am. Those were all, the reason we have those is because of what Jesus did. Because of what he gave, what he provided for us. They're all there.
The devil has the same tricks all the time. He tries to bring you back underneath the law.
Yep.
He tries to bring you back underneath condemnation. He tries to take that away from you. Oh, well, look at the way you are now.
Yep.
Or look whatever. You know, he'll use whatever he can.
Capture the thought.
You know, and you just got to keep on thinking Jesus, and it puts him under your feet.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, that's right, exactly right. Because he really doesn't have a lot of weapons. The enemy,
he has the same tricks.
Same trick. And basically,
he might put a different label on it, but it's the same trick. Yeah,
and his base. His base
to steal your gifts.
Yeah.
Joy.
Yeah.
Amen, sister. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's. And mainly it's deception. Can I deceive you? Can I get you off the promise? Because can I get you to move off the promise? Can I get you to doubt it? Carol.
How better covenant that the new covenant was made between God and Jesus.
Right.
It had nothing to do with man.
Yep.
He made the covenant with his son Jesus.
Yeah.
Right.
And we can't change that.
Right.
We can't change it. It's already settled.
Settled.
It's already done.
He promised Jesus, right? Everybody who looks upon him and believes in him, saved.
That's right. And so all you... And basically, you have it. It's yours because of your position in him. Not because of you out. It's like, I'm in him. So thank you, Jesus. So it's all about thank you, Jesus. And when the devil comes and said, well, look what you did. Hey, look what Jesus did. Thank you for what Jesus did, not what I did. It's not based on what I did. Johnny?
So symptoms are the deception.
The symptoms are the deception. To get you off, the truth. Because what is the truth? We said, I'm healed. I'm the healed. I am the healed. That's the truth. The symptoms are the deception. Get me off the truth. So maybe, and it's like, you know, the enemy said, you know, like, I'm trying to, can I get you off the promise? Can I get you out of your position? Can I move you out of position?
It's only a deception. Mm-hmm. All you got to do is not believe it. Wow. It's like that one day when I was
coming. Hallelujah. And said, and then if we continue on to verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Notice there's no Abraham in this. There's no what I. All this was fully convinced that what he. Same with us. It's all about, well, what Jesus, what God accomplished through Jesus. That's why I get it. And I'm fully convinced that what Jesus did gives me hope. It was interesting. It's not a big doctrinal thing, but when I looked up that word, Elpsis, that one that gave hope, confident expectation of joy, that noun, and it looks at all the occurrence of it in the New Testament. The first time it appears is in Acts. And I thought that was kind of interesting. It didn't appear in the Gospels. And it was just kind of a little, it's like, okay, so hope came after all the Gospels were completed. As far as now, there's some other words that are translated hope in the Gospels. But that word, I thought, wow, hope came after the completion. And it's used 54 times throughout the Acts and the epistles. But there's our hope. Because of what was already accomplished, we have hope. And then Abraham wasn't alone. But notice that he was able to promise on what God was able. So he was looking at God's faithfulness. Just like when we talked about when your spouse calls and such a simple thing, you get excited because they're going to tell you the truth. Or else. No, I mean, they're going to tell you the truth. But you just know they're going to tell you the truth. They didn't call you to lie to you. They didn't tell you that to lie to you. They told you that to get excited.
Yeah.
To get excited about this truth. And so he trusted in that faithfulness. You know, he wasn't alone on that, because if you look at Hebrews chapter 11, Sarah also had a part to play in this. You know, Abraham couldn't have done this by himself. And here's Sarah. Sarah's 90. And so she's past childbearing age. She's past it. When God came and talked to Abraham, and God said to him that this time next year, you're going to have a child. You remember what Sarah did? She laughed. She laughed and said, why'd you laugh? Oh, I didn't laugh. You did laugh. And then I think it's kind of funny because you know what the name of the child that Abraham and Sarah had? What was the name of the child?
Isaac.
You know what Isaac means?
Laughter.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, he laughed. Yeah. So every time she had to call him, laughter. Come here. Laughter. Come here. I was like, but there was a rejoicing there. So I thought that was kind of humorous in a way, but it's also like, hey, this is like, get excited. This your child's name is laughter. But by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive. So Sarah had to walk in faith. And she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. She's same thing. She judged the promise and judged the person behind the promise faithful to complete that promise. And that enabled her to receive strength to be able to conceive and bear a child. Because there's a lot in. I can't speak from personal experience, but there's a lot in carrying a child. You know, my wife and I had six, and so I know that from close by that there's work involved in that. And so there's work. And so it takes faith, you know, to be able to conceive and carry that child.
Did so, Mary say the same thing, that she judged faithful who had promised?
That was
child?
Sarah?
No, Mary.
Mary? Mary's just basically, she gave an exhortation like, my soul magnifies the Lord, right. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior because he has done good things to me. Right. So he wasn't, she's told the angels, be it unto me according to your word. Yeah. So that was basically her receiving that promise.
Said something like that to Elizabeth or somebody.
I don't know if she uses those words, but basically she gave a praising to God for what he had done.
Mm-hmm. I think it's possible she named him Laughter, because that's the point when her faith was ignited, when she was confronted with, why did you laugh? And she's like, oh, you heard. It could have been that's where her faith was ignited, like, oh, well, this must be true. They even knew what they couldn't know.
What they couldn't know.
Right.
Yeah.
Possibly. So there's memorials there. We make they would make temples or altars and stuff to remember stuff. Well, if that's the point when her faith was ignited, well, name the kid that, and it's always a reminder how good God is.
Yeah, I don't remember. Go ahead.
I'm just thinking, when Abraham left Haran, he was 75 years old. So it was 25 years of time when he saw God's faithfulness. He had ups and downs, but he grew strong in faith, mm-hmm. giving glory to God. So as he kept on growing in the Lord, giving glory to God, believing, then the promise was in tactile form.
Yes. And I think that's a good point, because there was a process. Mm-hmm. There was a process that he grew. He grew. So don't be discouraged from where you are. It's more important what trajectory, what direction are you moving? Are you moving? Are you growing in faith? Are you exercising? Are you moving in hope? Are you working on that relationship with him so you can understand and hear his voice and get excited about the promise? Because there was a process that Abraham went through in order to arrive at a position where he was fully persuaded. I'm fully persuaded that what God is able, said he was able to do.
Relationship is in the journey. Because if you just automatically always got everything immediately, you would spend less time with him.
Yeah, that'd be like,
you know, the relationship is the journey.
Yeah, so there's a relation. Otherwise, it's like going to a vending machine. You don't really have a put a thing, and I need this, boom.
God becomes your genie then.
There's no relationship with that, with a vending machine. But that God's not that. And really, you receive by faith. And well, faith demands then the hope, the expectation, the understanding of who your Father is, understanding his goodness, understanding his love. So there's more into it. It's not formulas. It's relationship and understanding that relationship and understanding the one who gave promises. So we're there. And, wow, the time went. I do want to...
wise when you're being taught.
I like that.
Go ahead.
Something in my spirit. He seeks after the Lord and has to believe that he'll want to reward those who seek him diligently.
Yeah.
And forget not his rewards, it says in Psalms. And, you know, there's many spots where we're supposed to believe in the goodness of God and what he has for us in the future to have that hope.
Yeah. And that's a great way. We talked about it in Psalm 103 where it says, forget not all his benefits. And then he lists, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases. And then it goes on and on. First two that he identifies in there is healing, is forgiving all your sins, and healing all your diseases as far as the benefits. Then he says, remember, memory is a powerful thing. Memory is powerful, powerful, powerful for keeping yourself in that relationship. When something challenges it, when something on your body says, wait a minute, I remember when before when I had a situation and God, and I trusted God and my body's changed. And so memory is very powerful on that. On this verse, it says, now may the God of hope. Notice, he is the God of hope. He is the God of confident expectation of good. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You know, Carol said earlier, you know, the devil's out to steal your joy. That's been given to you. That's a fruit of the Spirit. And he's trying to get you to move off of that position. But the God of all hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound, be overflowing with a confident expectation, a confident, joyful expectation of good, overflowing. And with all, it talked about with all joy and peace. There's a way that you can, that those are kind of like meters that you can use to measure your walking, that joy and peace in believing. So he said, I'm believing God. Well, I'm just believing God. Oh, I'm just believing God. If there's no joy and peace, well, then there's really not. Where's the hope? See, it's kind of like it's kind of like a self measurement, like a meter that you can use. If you have a confident expectation, a confident expectation of good, then there's celebration, then there's excitement, there's some yes, my God is good. Yes, His word. I have a promise. I have a promise from this. We're eating steaks at 6. And we're, you know, we're done.
Yes, you are.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my.
You may not make it home by 6.
Well, we have that same kind of, that same relationship with God. If the same relationship says that we have a promise from Him. And so that promise should overflow into joy and peace. In believing. All right? Let's pray. I want you to stand up. Lord, thank you so much. Thank you so much for stirring us up here today. I sense that we stirred up some things. Holy Spirit, I believe that you showed your life light, the light of your word, where we might have gotten discouraged. We might have allowed our expectation to cool regarding your goodness, regarding your goodness. And so, Lord, we repent.
Yes, Lord.
We repent.
Yes, Lord.
And say, Lord, we are expecting your goodness. We have a confidence. Joyful expectation of your goodness. Your promises are true. And I receive them. In this body. Now.
And my words
are going to be words of life.
Words of thanksgiving.
Words of praise.
Words of victory.
Because I receive your life.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
You're released. But Lucy and I are going to be up here for prayer. If you want some ministry afterwards, if something quickened inside of you and you said, yes, I'm ready. My hope has been rejuvenated and restored. And I want to receive. I'm ready to connect. And come on up and we'll pray with you. Amen. You are dismissed.